This is the Love Foco Show.
What I love about Fort Collins is that kind of intentionality and planning. It's not, some folks move here and think that it became great right when they arrived. And you really have to look back to the founding of Fort Collins. Yeah. And the decisions that were made over many years that why Fort Collins has remained a great place to live, work, play, and raise a family.
Welcome to the Love Foco Show. Our podcast highlights the incredible people who make Fort Collins the place we're proud to call home. Each week, your host, Jeff Faust, sits down with local leaders, community champions, and change makers to share their stories, what they love about our city, and how they're helping it thrive. So whether you're out on the trail, at a brewery, or walking through Old Town, thanks for tuning in.
Hey everyone, Jeff Faust here, your host for the Love Foco podcast. Every episode, we sit down with business owners, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and influencers from our amazing city. Just basic, amazing humans who are making a difference in and around Fort Collins. It doesn't matter if they're selling or serving or building or brewing, you name it. We hope these conversations will inspire you to get involved, to share your story, and to make a difference by loving our city one life at a time. Today's interview, we're sitting down with Wade Troxell, who I lovingly call Mr. Fort Collins. He was born and raised here, played football at CSU, now a professor at CSU. He was a mayor of our town when I first moved to Fort Collins. I can't wait for you to hear his story, the longevity of his influence in our community, and the interview. It's a great time to sit down with him. And so let's go ahead and jump on in to this conversation. Wade, thank you so much for being here. Grateful that you're making the time. And bonus, you are the first interview on the Love Foco podcast. So welcome to the podcast. You're our first interview. How does that make you feel?
Well, I'm honored, actually. So, and this is a subject that's near and dear to my heart. And I love Fort Collins and everything that Fort Collins has to offer. And you know, I've just been so fortunate to, this is my hometown.
Well, I'm so thrilled that you agreed to join the podcast and that you're our first interview. You know, you were a big part of my life when I first moved to Fort Collins almost 8-9 years ago. And we'll get into a number of reasons why I really wanted you to be our first interview in a moment. But the first question that I'm going to ask you, the first question I intend to ask everybody is just tell me a little bit about your Fort Collins origin story. Like, how did you show up here? Were you born here, raised here? Did you transplant in like so many others? Like, what is your Fort Collins origin story?
You bet. Well, Fort Collins is my hometown. So I was born in Poudre Valley Hospital and when it was a county hospital on way out.
That is awesome. So I'm sitting with a real actual native.
That's right.
I mean, everybody totes that they're a native, but you're an actual native to not just to Colorado either, but to Fort Collins specifically.
That's right. So I was the youngest of four kids, and my folks came here in 1947.
Wow.
My dad, a position at Colorado State University. Basically, he did his doctorate at Duke. And so my folks came out here in 1947 before interstates. And, you know, after 3 days of driving and in the middle of Kansas, and my dad was a forestry professor. So after 3 days of driving and in Kansas and hadn't seen a tree in days, mom said, "We're going to Colorado and you're to do what?" And so there are a lot of trees and that's an important
part of our, my goodness,
environment here. So. He was a professor of forestry.
Okay. So really came across the entire Midwest to get out here.
Yep.
And I don't know the last time you drove through the Midwest to get to the Front Range. It's not the most appealing drive.
Right.
And then so all of a sudden you land, you know, and you see the foothills of the Front Range, and that have just blown everyone's mind.
A lot of two lane highways and back then.
Yeah.
And my brother was just born, my oldest brother. And so, it came into Fort Collins, and at that time, I think it was around 3,000 students at Colorado A&M.
Wow.
Drove around the Oval.
Yeah, back in the Aggie days.
Yeah, Aggie days. drove around the Oval and stopped at the administration building, and the president, Green at the time, greeted him and welcome to Fort Collins. And by the way, while you're here, in the fall, every afternoon after three, you're going to also coach football.
Oh, by the way, surprise.
Yeah, that's right. So about the first 3 or 4 years, my dad was the freshman football coach, as well as teaching forestry.
That's amazing. And so you said you were the baby of four kids.
Yeah.
So how many years was like your family established here before you were born and started to live your life here?
Yeah, so 1947. So that's when, we were established here. And the house I grew up in, my folks built it in 1951. It's really just three blocks from here on Armstrong and in the Mance edition.
Yeah.
And it was the first post World War II subdivision that was built. It was, you know, Fort Collins is laid out on a grid, but this is the first neighborhood that had one block long streets.
Okay.
And it was mid-century.
Yeah.
And my mom had a set of plans from Better Homes and Gardens, and it's a Cape Cod kind of house, so it was different than all the other houses that were being built at the time, and that was the house I grew up in.
That's awesome. That's amazing. So, born here, raised here. Then where, like, what's the school journey like for you? Where did you go to school? I mean, we're sitting in the Scott Hall right now. Your office is just down. It's a beautiful on campus doing this interview. Your house is just a handful of blocks. Where would that have landed you for like elementary, middle, high, things like that?
You bet. So elementary school, Dunn Elementary was built 1949. So it was a new elementary school and it was one block from my house growing up. I was two houses away from campus.
Yep.
And so this issue, campus was my playground as a kid. Fort Collins was about 20,000 people at that time.
20,000. A lot's changed.
A lot's changed. So
a lot has changed.
So Dunn Elementary, Lincoln Junior High,
yep,
and Pooter High School.
Awesome.
So
in Paula.
You bet. So my Pooter opened in 1964, and my oldest brother, that was his senior year. So that was the opening of Pooter. My oldest brother was the valedictorian so the first graduate of Pooter High School in its existence. And my mom was involved at the time in a lot of things, and she was an amazing woman. She helped start the Scholar Athlete Award at the high schools, and there's an award that recognizes her, the Eleanor Troxell Award, top, and it really integrates, and it tells, I think, a story that, you know, that is really part of me, is it really recognizes not only athletics, but citizenship and scholarship in terms of what you do as a in your community. And she established, along with Gladys Eddy, Willard Eddy, the Eddy Building.
Yeah.
Gladys Eddy was a stalwart person in this community. She established this award after my mom passed.
Oh, that's amazing. And I know you enough, Wade, to know that those characteristics are like ingrained in you too, because there was the scholarship, there was the athletics. So I just fast forward just a little bit. I know you ended up playing football at CSU.
Mm-hmm.
So you went from an Impala to a Ram. There's something about the hooved animals that's just drawing you in. But
yeah.
You came and you played football at CSU, studied here. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
You bet. So I was recruited for football, had trips and it was actively recruiting with BYU at the time,
okay.
Air Force Academy, and got a scholarship at CSU, athletic scholarship under Sark Arslanian, Coach Arslanian, and so in high school we won conference my sophomore, junior, senior years, so
okay.
We were a good football team and
yeah.
Number of recruits. And I was recruited and came to CSU. My freshman year, I was a long snapper, so I did all the long snapping
yeah.
my freshman year. And then my sophomore, junior, senior year, I was regular center as well as long snapper.
Okay.
So I started for 3 years as regular center. I was a co-captain my senior year.
Yep.
We had good seasons during that time and great experience and a lot of, you know, that's the neat thing about college are people that you meet are lifelong friends.
Oh man, so amazing. And like, I mean, even thinking about not only how the city has changed, but even how the sport of football has changed. Playing center, you know, now has become like a famous position because of Jason Kelce and the Kelce brothers and everything like that. He's made that position so famous. But man, that's incredible. So when you were here then playing ball and long snapper playing center, you started studying, I would imagine, engineering, just knowing your background. Did you start with engineering or how did you find your way into that field of study?
Yeah. Literally 50 years ago is when I was a freshman.
Well, I won't tell you how old I am.
So I was a freshman and I actually took summer school because to actually get ahead on some of my classes. And that's one thing I always did was also take summer school as a part of my education, because you know engineering and athletics, I always viewed both of them as two full-time jobs.
Yep.
So you know I from the beginning I my first degree was in engineering science.
Okay.
Which was an interdisciplinary kind of engineering. It was in bioengineering and great experience there. And then when I graduated, you know, I actually did one summer with the Denver Broncos. That was with Red Miller as a coach, and I did this long snapping and regular snapping to you know, a number of folks, including Jim Turner as kicker and and Luke Prestridge as a punter and then Craig Morton as a quarterback and Norris Weiss as a quarterback. And I remember you know, I would line up and it was just a drill, but they would have the linebackers and defensive backs, and that was the Orange Crush defense. And so, you know, I'd look up and there'd be, you know, Randy Gratishar and Tom Jackson and Bob Swenson and Joe Rizzo as, you know.
That is incredible.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Yep.
So did you go bachelor's and then that was it, or did you continue education and where was that? Was it continued at CSU as well?
Yep. So, you know, I graduated in 1980, with my bachelor's and I was working on a project that was part of my senior project here at CSU. It was funded, had a chance to go on for my master's right away. I enjoyed that because I just wanted to be a student. It was after my playing days.
Yeah.
And so I was just a student in engineering working on my master's, and it was on a project that is called the Troxicizer. So it was an interactive exercise machine that actually had a microprocessor that controlled the system and that was part of the bioengineering part of my education.
Yeah.
Was I build this piece of equipment that, was pretty interesting at the time.
Oh, that's awesome. And then you started teaching as well at CSU. I mean, this is why I affectionately, this is why when I'm talking to other people, I'm going to try this nickname on for you. Tell me if you like it or not. I affectionately refer to you as Mr. Fort Collins. Because like every time I sit down with you, I just learn more about how your history and your life is ingrained in this city, how you've helped advance this city and done amazing things, and then helped other people do the same things. I mean, just empowering people all around you. So you were born here, you were raised here, you grew up in Impala, you became a Ram, then you came to Master, and now I think even still to this day, you're a professor here at CSU. And so the legacy is just continuing to build and grow. How long have you been a professor here? And
a long time. So, you know, basically, when I came back from my PhD, I spent a couple of years working in Kodak in Windsor.
Okay.
And then came back from my PhD in 1984.
So I've been. Hold on, because I'm not sure everybody realizes this, because it's not like Kodak in Windsor was a huge part of Northern Colorado. Had to have been a huge part of Northern Colorado.
So in about 1970, Kodak located a big facility in Windsor. It's about 3,500 employees at Kodak in Windsor. So it really built, and Kodak really built a lot of the infrastructure that Windsor has today, high schools, other schools, roads and utilities and so forth. So, I mean, you still see naming the streets and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And now it's just a shadow of its what it was back then.
But it's amazing to think like a plant that employs, you said 3,500 people, the impact that can have on an entire region.
Yeah.
You know, an entire area of Colorado, that because that's impacting a lot of families. Like you said, a lot of infrastructure and commerce and all kinds of different things.
Yeah. So when you think about it, so Kodak had a large presence here. Beginning in the 1970s, so did Hewlett-Packard.
Yeah.
Hewlett-Packard in the 1960s located the first facility outside of California, and that was in Loveland.
Yes.
And there was HP there, but then HP, that was in the 70s and 80s, had a large facility here in Fort Collins. They also had a large one in Greeley, you know, here in Fort Collins, along Harmony Road.
Yep.
And so HP and then Anheuser-Busch was a big...
I mean, these are some major employers.
Right. And before that, you know, we didn't have those kind of large employers.
Yeah.
We had Woodward, which has been here for since the 50s, I believe, 1950s. Yep. And their world headquarters was moved here when I was on council. So that was a big, you know, part of our economic future when Woodward committed and built the campus. They have the Drake campus, but they also have the one on Lincoln.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're talking major employers. You're talking stimulating the economy in incredible ways, building the city up. I mean, your family came here in the late 40s. And you've touched on the 80s and you're still a professor. You've seen this city change so much over the decades. What's something maybe that you miss of, because I talk with folks who maybe been here for 50 plus years and they always say they remember when, you know, this entire section of town was a field or whatever. Is there something, progress is beautiful, and we all love the amenities and the excellence that comes with living in Fort Collins, but I'm sure there were a few things that maybe you missed to it. Is there something you look back and you're like, oh, that was a really sweet time to live here?
Well, it's always been a great time. I mean, even back when it was smaller, 20,000, Prospect Road, and these are called roads because they were out in the country. Prospect Road, Drake, Horsetooth, Harmony, all those are all roads, and they were essentially out in the country.
Yeah.
And so, and watching that grow over time. Now, that's one of the things I love about Fort Collins is really the planning, the intentionality, and the leadership that went into it went into the growth of Fort Collins. It isn't by accident that Fort Collins is one of the finest places to live.
You can't build this city with a 2-year plan or
right.
a 5-year plan. I mean, you have to have really forward-thinking, long-term planning
and
leaders.
People vested in a great community. It was then known as the Choice City of Colorado, and it still is.
Yeah.
And the point is...
Yeah, but we don't need to tell anybody that. We can just keep that.
Right.
I mean, everyone's writing blogs about it. We can just bury those leads, though.
Well, but it's always been like that. And so it's interesting that people come here and then 5-10 years later, they want to sometimes close the door.
Yeah.
And the point is it's really been designed to build out to about 250,000 people.
Okay.
The plans are in place for that future.
Yeah. Now, if we had a crystal ball, we don't have one right now, but if we had a crystal ball right in front of us, how long do you see that take? Like
30 years.
30 years from now?
Right. Yeah. So, and it's not an art, it's a science with the land planning, the land use, and where things are. Our growth area management areas is fixed. Mm-hmm. And so our boundaries are fixed along, you know, with the communities around us. There are community separators that will always keep Fort Collins its own identity.
Yeah.
And with that,
a lot of dedicated green space.
Right. Trails and things that make Fort Collins the thing that people just love. And what I what I love about Fort Collins is that kind of intentionality and planning. It's not, you know, some folks move here and think that it became great right when they arrived. And you really have to look back to the founding of Fort Collins. Yeah. And the decisions that were made over many years, that why Fort Collins has remained a great place to live, work, play, and raise a family.
Well, it's an incredible place. And I haven't lived all over the nation, but I moved from the Midwest. I grew up in Iowa, spent a lot of time in Kansas City. And my wife and I loved Kansas City, started our family in Kansas City. But when we moved here, we said early and often, as far as it's up to us, this is the place we want to stay. I mean, it's incredible. Yeah. And the more, like you said, the more I get to know the city, the more I get to know the leaders and think about the city planning and the excellence behind all these things, I continue to be impressed more and more and more. It really is an incredible place to live.
You know, you look to a lot of things. Why does Fort Collins have wide streets? Well, when it was a grid, and it was mainly what we now call Old Town. Avery was the initial planner of the city of Fort Collins. You know, the wide streets were so wagons could be turned around within the street.
Yeah.
Well, now, you know, we have dedicated bike lanes and so we have complete street infrastructure.
Right.
If you go to Denver, if you go in those neighborhoods, you can barely get one car down with two yep. parked cars on either side. And so you just think about things that, and it might be serendipity, but it was really intentional about the purpose of the community and with its agricultural roots, fundamentally, in Colorado State University being here from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Colorado State University was founded in 1870 and the city of Fort Collins was incorporated in 1873. Colorado became a state in 1876.
Amazing.
So it was when it was a territory, Fort Collins, what became Fort Collins and the founding and with CSU here as well.
Yeah. Well, I think every leader that I've ever talked to, they want vision. They want to have longevity in mind. They want to be able to plan for the future. There's some incredible insights. If you just look at Fort Collins, you just study the history and you project into the future. I mean, may it be true of all of us who are leaders that we would just have this kind of intentionality and foresight to keep planning.
And I mean, it's also incredible. Having vibrancy for the businesses, you know, businesses change over, you know, markets change and so forth. But, you know, we've always had, you know, a vibrant community of businesses. You know,
yeah.
One thing Fort Collins has always been on the positive slope of our economic future. And that's due to, I think, good decisions made by city leaders and so forth that, you know, that we don't get overextended. And it always is a great place to live for whomever
yeah.
lives here.
Yeah. Well, you had mentioned, because I want to circle back to this for a little bit, because I told you I affectionately call you Mr. Yeah. Fort Collins. And you had leaked into our conversation that you were on city council. And then I also know that you were mayor for CSU. So tell us a little bit about how you've served the city in more of those official roles. Of course, you've served it just as a human, wanting to be a great neighbor to everyone who calls this place home. But you've also served it in like a professional capacity. So tell us a little bit about you being on the council and then being the mayor, and fill us in on a little bit of the life of what that was like.
You know, and I'm really honored to serve as Fort Collins' 56th mayor.
Wow.
At the time, and you know, I was first elected in 2007
yep.
To District 4, which is Southwest Fort Collins, and I served two terms there. I was term limited. Had a chance to run for mayor. I did, and ran and had three terms as mayor.
When were those years?
From 2015 to 2021.
Okay.
They're 4-year terms for council and 2-year terms for mayor, and
yep.
so elected 3 terms. So I was on council for 14 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was really an honor to serve. And, you know, part of that story is when I was 14 years old, The mayor at the time, Carl Carson, he was a local dentist, a great man. I often looked to him for, you know, providing great leadership to our community. But Carl Carson was challenged by the ASCSU, the student body president, to a race. And it was called Walk for Mankind. So yeah. It was a fundraiser, a 15-mile race or something like that. And it was through actually the south part of what we now know as Fort Collins, District 4, that I served. So when I was 14, Mayor Carson said, "The mayor accepts your challenge to the race to the student body president."
Wow.
And he made me mayor for a day.
No kidding.
And I did the race for Mayor Carson as the so-called mayor for a day.
Man.
And it was a walk for mankind, but I ran it at that time and came in like 22nd. And
as a 14-year-old.
Yeah, as a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
And it was experiences like that I always had a general awareness of what was going on in our community. Why water treatment and our electric system and our sign codes and a lot of things that are behind the scenes that makes Fort Collins a wonderful place. And so I always had that community system perspective about Fort Collins and not that I was preordained that I would be mayor, but there was in 2007, a number of people contacted me to consider running for mayor running for council at that time. And I did, I won. And, you know, for the next 14 years, I served on city council.
Wow. So did you ever like pull out the picture as a 14-year-old, like mayor for a day, and use that as a campaign slogan? Like, hey, this someone had some kind of foresight into my life on who I would become.
You know, I never used it in campaigning, really. You know, I think it's an interesting little factoid, but
yeah.
For me, it was really how to make Fort Collins a better place. And, you know, a lot of city leaders some people in politics don't view the long game, you know, their heads down. Really tried to encourage, you know, when I was mayor and our council and so forth, to lift our heads up and look to the horizon and where are we going as a community? And is that in a direction we want to go?
Well, someone will be mayor after you and someone will sit in that council chair after you and someone will inherit this beautiful city that so many have helped build. I mean, it's not lost on me, even as we're sitting here in this interview in Scott Hall and just down from your office, that there is a quote over here on the wall from Walter Scott that says, "Be a giver, not a taker." Yeah. And as I hear your story, even the way you talk about, you know, growing up here, the foresight and the forward thinking, being aware of the community, the way that you have taught and led and cared for our city, I hear a lot of servant leadership behind that. I mean, it just seems like that's part of, where do you think that came from? I mean, I would imagine family, I would imagine some key leaders and mentors, but where did that kind of servant-hearted, be a giver, not a taker kind of mentality come from?
Yeah, I'd say definitely my parents, my mother and father, both amazing folks in their own right and what they've done, but also community leaders at the time and through our churches and at CSU. You know, I just remember growing up and I knew the people that the buildings are now named after, you know, whether it be Walter Scott or Willard Eddy. Just knowing those folks and really what they stood for. And then also the Mayor Carsons that kind of leadership and the decisions that were made. I just think about in the late 60s, my dad actually served on city council as well.
Oh, okay.
He was a council member when it was 5 members. And I remember going to city council meetings.
Yeah.
3 o'clock on I believe it was Tuesday then too, but it was 3 o'clock in the old city hall, which is right next to where the city hall is today.
Yeah.
and it's still used in, by the city. But going to those meetings and being aware of things going on within the city.
Just a man of the city. I love that so much. This is why I wanted you to be our first interview, because I just knew there were going to be so many little backstories. And truly, since the day that we met, I've seen you all over this town, using the bike lanes that you were talking about, drinking in different coffee shops, meeting with people. It seems like you kind of really do embody. I mean, when I first moved here, I was just in observation mode. Like, what is this city about? And I learned that if you want to be loved in this, if you want the city to love you back, if you love bikes, beer, and dogs, you're gonna be like pretty high on the list, right? And I see you on your bike all the time, just drive, biking around the city, enjoying.
It's an amazing city. It's
really
amazing, it goes back to the Avery Planning and the wider streets and so forth, and that's actually been carried through in so many ways, you can enjoy the city in so many ways, and just everything. So being around the coffee shops and the coffee culture that is here, but also the breweries family having fun, not crazy, but just enjoying things, but also our personal responsibilities that we have to this community in one way or another. If it's within your job or within your going to school or what is it? It's helping your neighbor. Yeah. And the thing that I really enjoy is and I would do undercover mayor when I was mayor, and just I would go places and just sit there and listen and just listen to people, what they were saying, why they were here in Fort Collins visiting or whatever. And
that's a dangerous game, Wade, because you can hear some things you don't want to hear too.
that's all part of it. But, just hearing why, people like about Fort Collins. And it was a time where Fort Collins wasn't a destination. Mm. It was a pass through on the way to Rocky Mountain National Park, which is one of our great assets in our backyard here.
Yeah.
But, we talked about the major employers that established here. Well, there weren't really hotels here. There was the Best Western. Now it's going to be the refurbished hotel there across from the South College gym, and that was the hotel. Then there was the Holiday Inn out by I-25. That was it. And then Hammonds built what is now the Hilton, and then the Marriott, and so forth. And now, there's such a culture about, a destination around Fort Collins, and, driving and riding a bike and seeing license plates literally from all corners it's pretty cool.
No, my family's still back in the Midwest, and they always invite us back, and we're like, why would we go? No, you should come here. Come here for the holidays. It's incredible with the lights in Old Town, the hospitality and the charm of Old Town. And
there's always something going on. I remember when we would think about leaving Fort Collins, growing up, and you go somewhere else for the weekend. Now you think about Fort Collins and what's going on, and you come to Fort Collins.
That's right.
And so there is that shift over the years.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, every time you leave, it's an opportunity lost. I mean, I want to ask you a couple of questions about, because you had mentioned the buildings, and some of the people who these buildings are named after. We first met because by trade, my day job is I'm a pastor here in town, and I've really come to love this city. And this podcast is all about kind of celebrating how amazing the city is and the great people like you that make it great. You and Darren Atterbury came to our church, and we just had a kind of a panel interview. And I asked you guys a lot of questions about how the faith community could love our city, and what that was and where it led is a conversation for another day. But I'll never forget when you were there, you looked out into the congregation and you saw someone that was a mutual acquaintance of both of ours, mine through pastoring and yours through just relationship and growing up here. A man by the name of Hal Kennard. Do you remember that day when you saw Hal Kennard in our church?
That's the highlight of that day, and Hal and Sandy Kennard. But Hal was, one person in my life that has made a difference. And I can say without any limitation is that he helped an entire generation of primarily young men and boys become better citizens through knowing Hal Kennard.
Yeah.
And that's where I just look at certain individuals that have made such an impact through their lives
yep.
on the lives of others in our community, making this a better community.
And I think when I, you know, so Hal has passed, and it was one of the biggest memorial services I ever think I went to. Our church couldn't even host it because we weren't big enough. But it was an incredible moment to celebrate a man's life who really gave everything he had to the people that were around him, empowering, like you said, young men. And I still meet, because Sandy still goes to our church, I still meet young men who know her and will tell me how much Hal meant to them. And then, of course, you know, there's a school named after him.
Right.
And I just think that's an incredible legacy to live, but again, very intentional, incredibly empowering to the people around him. How specifically did you know Hal? Did he coach you, or where did that relationship first kind of come about?
Yeah, so I went to Lincoln Junior High, so
yep.
Coach Kennard was our BE instructor.
Yeah.
But he was more than that. He was a builder of people.
Yeah.
And when my brothers, he also coached my brothers. And when before Hal was married to Sandy, he tore his Achilles tendon and they had it repaired. And my mom reached out and he did his recovery at our home.
Really?
I remember he was on the first floor bedroom and the window was facing our garage where we had a basketball hoop and I'd open the drapes and he would help coach me when I was shooting baskets while he was recovering in our home. It was about a couple of weeks.
Well, and that's a hard injury to come back from.
Yeah.
I mean, even now today, with all the medical advances and everything, Achilles is a tough one.
It is.
He was always incredibly gracious for us, you know, hosting him, and he would always talk to me about my parents and how wonderful people they were, and they were, and you know, that was a special time that I, you know, had with Hal during that time. We always kept in contact. He would also, keep connection with a lot of other folks in the community like T.R. Blevins and others. I don't know, he was always so consistent, and he had a rough upbringing in Denver and went to the military and then went to CSU and, you know, great basketball player at CSU. He would always be marked by hustle and determination but also I think his biggest mark was his love for Jesus in his life and that permeated in all of his relationships, particularly working with kids as he continued working with Poudre School District.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you knew him longer than I did. But from the get-go, his faith was clearly apparent, and you could see that it had permeated every way that he tried to interact with people. I think Sandy helped him grow quite a bit as well.
I believe that's really one of the beauties of marriage is the influence of each other.
Yeah.
And it's not that each one of us are perfect, far from it. It's our imperfections coming together, trying to make a perfect union.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the beauty, I think, of a man and a wife and the raising of kids.
And you know, just really interesting to learn about Hal's background. I have to think that growing up the way that he did and facing some of the struggles that he did gave him a different kind of set of eyes to see the young people that were all around him. Mm-hmm. And the ability where maybe, you know, sometimes folks would maybe be discredited or pushed to the side, he would always be able to pull the gold out of them, even the gold they didn't know they had. And of course, this famous phrase, you can and you will, right? You can and you will, just
instilling it
and empowering it deeply within young people all over the city.
And, you know, it run into folks that I grew up with, you know, whether it be Ray Martinez or Jerry Gabaldone, or and they still talk about coach.
Yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't that, I mean, that's just a prayer for all of us, that that long after we live the life that we've been given, that people remember the way that we treated them and how they became better after spending time with us. I know it's true of Hal. I'm sure that's quite true of you as well, Wade. And so, yeah, thank you for letting me ask that. I just find myself wondering, though, too, on the like kind of the secondary or tertiary question of that is, how on earth do you get a building named after yourself? Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the process? Particularly these schools, I would imagine there's like a real process.
Yeah, there is. And there was a campaign in naming it for Coach Kennard.
Okay.
And Ray Martinez played a key role in that and getting letters, 50-some letters, I think. I provided a letter of the impact of Coach Kennard on each of our lives as an educator, as a lifelong Poudre School District employee, impacting people's lives forever.
Yeah. Well, maybe there'll be a Wade Troxell, maybe a Troxell Trail. We can all take a bike on Troxell Trail someday.
You know, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but in Longmont, there's an intersection of Troxell Avenue and Wade Road.
Really?
There's an intersection, and it's in West Longmont. And, you know, I did some projects with Longmont early in my career here, and with the developers of in the community. I don't know if that had anything, but you know, anyway, I'm not out for those kind of things. But you know, there is one of those famous intersections.
Well, and that's really interesting too, because I feel like, again, as I get to know the city, as I get to know the leaders. The Four Cones leaders aren't trying to hoard all of this knowledge and this foresight and excellence for themselves. They're doing a great job of meeting with other municipalities and connecting with other leaders and sharing the knowledge, learning from other cities and sharing what we've learned with them.
Well, no, we're all so blessed. When I was mayor, I was also involved with the Colorado Municipal League, and that's the 272 cities and towns in the state of Colorado. Yeah. And I was on the executive committee there, and 1 year served as the president of the Colorado Municipal League. So the opportunity to, and I, part of the CSU mission, working with communities throughout the state of Colorado, and I take that seriously, and it's a real opportunity and a blessing to see that out, and also other communities. When I was mayor, I was involved with mayors around the United States and literally the world through Bloomberg Mayor's Initiative.
Oh, that's awesome. That's incredible. Well, we've talked a lot, Wade. I've got one last question I really want to ask you. I know we've talked about the origin story, which was a lot of fun for me, and I know it will be for our listeners as well. You had mentioned a number of things that you love about our city, and we riffed on that for a while. I think that's really just interesting to hear, and it helps us just remember how great of a town we live in. The last thing I would love to ask you is your love for this city, the fact that you're planted firmly in this city. How are you demonstrating that love? Like, what are you doing to, in a way, love Fort Collins today? And what's that look like in your day-to-day life right now?
Yeah, you know, and I think this, you know, people throughout our community can relate to this, but it's being engaged with our community in one way or another, whether it's through our schools or through our day-to-day jobs or through our families or through our faith-based community or what have you. And you know, I just think it's every day trying to make a difference positively within the community. And to me, it's, you know, it's just like opening that door and saying thank you and being on the bike trail and saying I'm on your left and so forth. It's really being human, but at a point that you're really reaching out and caring for somebody. You know, this is Mayberry, and with that, there's people are having struggles as well as celebrations, and with those struggles, the thing is to really share your heart with each individual. And for me, I meeting with students and they're in tough situations sometimes, not only in the classroom, but you know, in their lives, and so making you know, being open to those kinds of communications with individuals. To me, what makes Fort Collins a great place? We have so many nice things, amenities, weather, and things that we can celebrate. But for as mayor, it was really the people in our community that make Fort Collins a great place. And that can be as intentional as the streets and the amenities and the culture that we enjoy. You know, it's the people that are really making a difference, whether it be the Hal Kennard or the T.R. Blevins or, you know, in Sarkar's Lanian, my football coach, or Ron McClary, or, you know, or my, you know, professors that I've had over the years are now my colleagues, and then just people in our community are making a big difference to make it a better place.
I love that. And, you know, every time that we have a conversation with someone, we want to give them an opportunity to talk about how they're loving our city, whether that's through a nonprofit or a volunteer opportunity or whatever it is. But what you just said really captures the heartbeat of what we're trying to do at Love Foco and the heartbeat of even these conversations, that we want to love our city one life at a time. Mm-hmm. And if we can all do that, we can all join in on that, it will be an incredible opportunity to see our neighbors, to love the people we're surrounded by every single day, who all have their own stories, mm-hmm. who all have their own challenges. And, you know, we're not unique to that, even though this city is incredible.
You know, Fort Collins, you know, I mentioned it was 20,000 when I was born here. Now it's 175,000. So it's grown 8.5 times.
Yeah.
And to me, you know, is it losing anything? To me, growth doesn't mean necessarily bad.
Right.
What we need to be is intentional about it, really building the good into our community. Yeah, and that's each individual's responsibility for making this a better place.
I love that. Yeah, we're not just consumers of this great city. We're all in a part owners, and we're giving back, which is incredible. Well, Wade. Or Mr. Fort Collins, if I could affectionately call you one last time. Thank you so much again for taking the time to share your life and your thoughts and the impact you've had on this community. I want to celebrate you and all that you've done. We'll put a bunch of info in the show notes, ways that you can continue to be involved in the Love Foco community. There'll be a picture of Mr. Wade Troxell there as well. And I would love to do this again. I mean, down the road, I'd love to have another conversation with you. This has been a great way to start the podcast. And for all of our listeners, I would love for you to share the episode. Let us know who else we should interview next. And as always, you can go to lovefoco.com to learn about what we're trying to do as an organization to make this community a better place, loving our city one life at a time. So thanks again, and we'll have another episode soon.
Thanks for listening to the Love Foco Show. If today's conversation inspired you, share it with a friend who loves Fort Collins as much as you do. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and leave us a review. It helps more people discover us. To learn more about Love Foco and find opportunities for loving our city one life at a time, visit lovefoco.com. For now, keep loving Fort Collins well.